Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you.
Join the CCW UK Executive Exchange from November 12th to November 14th, 2024 at the Hilton London Sion Park. Network with top CX leaders and explore cutting-edge strategies to transform customer experience. Don't miss out. Register today. More details on www.cxgoalkeeper.com/ccw.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today I'm super thrilled to discuss with Patty Soltis about the C-suite and how to convince them that what we are doing makes sense. And I'm really keen to kick off this discussion. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Super keen to kick off this discussion and have a nice chat together with you. If it's similar to the pre-discussion that we had a few minutes ago, then it will be a blast. But before we kick off the discussion, Patty, could you please introduce yourself?
Okay. Hi, I'm Patty Soltis. I am a senior customer experience manager at a company called Upwork. We are a tech platform that matches contractors with organizations. So we're kind of like that middleman sort of thing. So I work in the tech world, been there almost a year. I have been a patient experience consultant. I've been a principal analyst of customer experience. I have been an independent consultant, and then I spent 27 years in retail. And that's where I learned about customer experience.
Thank you very much. And to learn a bit more about you, which values drive you in life?
Well, I have to say that I am a capitalist at heart. Like, it gives me like a thrill and a boost to know that, like, essentially you're winning, like you're building a business, you're moving forward with something. But there's a reason why I feel that way, and that's because of the economic opportunities that that can provide people. So I just think that there's some good that can come, and as you're building a business and you're able to become more profitable and you're able to grow, it offers more jobs to people, it offers job security to people. There's a lot of good pieces that come inside of that pretty much anywhere you go. And generally, I work for organizations that also have like a greater good built in. So right now at Upwork, what we do is we help people find jobs and match jobs up. So we help employers solve problems and we help freelancers find work. And that to me is a really big greater good.
Thank you very much. I think your employer helps people find jobs. And with this discussion, we help people learn more. And therefore, let's really learn about how to convince the C-suite that what we are doing makes sense and to prove that to them in their language. But it's not about me, it's now about you. How can CX professionals align their initiatives with the top priorities of leadership to gain executive buy-in?
I think the first thing you have to do is find out what that North Star is. Because once you know what that is, you can start to align in that. You got to know what the North Star is. You got to know what the strategy is. What customer segments are they going after? What products are they pushing? And then you can feed into all of that. And I think that's such an important thing to do, is to be able to feed into that. And once you know all of that, then you have to understand what the processes are. How does something grow and how does it become developed? So I work a lot in my current role with product managers. And I work with the product managers, I work with the directors, I work with the VPs. And really, it's been a huge learning curve for me in the past 10 months to learn what are their processes. How does this come about into being? At what point in time am I going to be valuable to them? At what point in time am I going to be invaluable to them? And at what point in time am I going to be a hindrance to them? So I've been learning all of those pieces for the past year almost. And I think it just brings that value into it. So I think that's just so important. I mean, I look back at my retail days and my job in retail was to drive a business. My job in retail was not customer experience. I was a vice president, general manager, which means I was in charge of running the store. And they were big stores that I ran. For those who know the American companies, they were Lord & Taylor, Marshall Fields, and Neiman Marcus. But it was my job was to ensure that profit number hit the mark or came in actually a little bit better. And I did that with customer centricity. So I just think about all the ways we can use customer centricity to help organizations hit that number. But you got to know what the North Star is, you got to know what the strategy is, and you have to understand their processes.
You are explaining that in a very easy way and simple way, but in the reality, what you are saying, it's make a lot of sense, but not a lot of CX professionals and CX teams are doing that, because you mentioned several topics I would quickly touch. And the first one is, you said it hit that number and it was not the NPS score or the customer satisfaction score. It was profitability number. And the second thing that you mentioned is the knowing the North Star, knowing the strategy. But it's not the strategy that you create in your small CX team. It's the strategy of the company. It's the North Star of the company. Could you please elaborate a bit on that? How are you or were you able to align that?
Well, first of all, I'm going to start off saying this. It's hard. This is not an easy thing to do by any stretch of the imagination. So it's so easy for me to say it, very, very difficult to do it. But you have to kind of put in the work and the payoff is immense. So I look at it this way. It never ceases to amaze me that C-suite people forget there's a customer and they forget that that customer has behavior, emotions, and decision-making that they go through. So part of my job is to educate them on that in relation to the strategy, in relation to the North Star. So that's part of my job right there, is to close that chasm. So I think about that right there. How am I going to bring those two things and bring them together? Because when we know more about our customer, we can be more profitable. I know that because I did it. I did it for almost 30 years. To me, it's so easy, not so easy for other people to understand. So a big part of my job, honestly, is education. And really helping people understand that. The other part of my job is, I don't know that I ever really talk about just NPS as a number. I talk about satisfaction, but I'm not like, you know, our NPS is this. And I'll share that it's dropped or I'll share that it's gone up or something like that. But for me, it's getting into that qualitative piece that's behind that number. So if I say that NPS is coming down and my immediate sentence is our NPS is coming down because our customers want more XYZ, or because we did this, they're now aggravated with us. It's got that connection. Then I bring the quant piece in, but the quant piece isn't the NPS number. The quant piece is our promoters are spending this much more. Our detractors are spending this much less. Our promoters retention is this. Our detractor retention is this. So that's like where I bring the actual numbers into play and what I do. And it makes such a difference because, quite frankly, nobody cares what the NPS number is, actually, unless you want you're one of those people that wants the bragging rights on it. What they want to know is how's that going to impact my profitability? So that's where I tie that in with the qual feedback and then bringing in the quant.
Thank you very much. As you were saying, one common friend is always saying the NPS is to massage the ego of our bosses, but important is to bring that back to real profitability numbers. I know that you are very active in the CX community. You did some webinars, workshops, and so on. What are some key takeaways that illustrate effective methods for aligning CX efforts with the expectation of the C-suite?
The big thing that I've found with that is that I think CX professionals want to do better. I don't think they know how. So I think that, it comes back to education again. Like, how do you do that? Now, for me, I'm a business person first. I'm a CX person second. I'm a business person because I know CX can drive the business and I want to drive the business. There's a lot of CX people out there that want to drive the customer experience. And I'm like, you got to throw that part out and you got to figure out how are you driving the business. So I think it's important to educate people on what exactly does that mean. I can't explain it to you in the amount of time that we have here today, but there are some steps that you can take to that. You can create a strategy that's in alignment with your company strategy. Look at metrics inside the organization. Look at the business metrics first, and then start tying your CX metrics into the business metrics. Don't just start, you know, you can't just start talking about CX metrics and so on and so on. Like, nobody cares what that is. Like, they care what's it going to do for the business. So that's another quick win that you can have. You can look at the insights that you have inside of your organization and how is that behavior driving profit? How is it driving either the right kind of revenue or how is it somehow decreasing costs? But you got to like make that connection. So it's constantly making that connection, whether it's with insights, whether it's with strategy, whether it's with metrics, like whether it's with business analytics that you have. You got to tie that all back in as a CX leader into what is driving profit.
It totally makes sense. In the pre-discussion, you mentioned something that data is nowadays is key, something that you need and you can leverage. Now you're saying, or you said you are in with your employer since 10 months, so roughly for 10 months. How are you able to get and put all this data together?
I keep asking the same question over and over and over again. I kind of, because I do look at things as a business first, I know what metrics it is I'm looking for and what it is I want. I also know that I'm not going to get everything all at one time. So this is kind of like it's a timing piece and a prioritization piece. So one of the first things that I wanted to know and I wanted to learn was how much more do our promoters spend than our detractors? I'm still working on some things. I'm still working on getting retention numbers and being able to tie those in completely. I have them to some degree of certainty, but not enough certainty yet. I had to figure out how much, you know, do some of the risk factors that are out there with some of the behavior that we see, how much do those impact our business? Like, it's just been constantly persevering and asking questions and, you know, following up. And gosh, it takes so much perseverance and you just got to keep going with that. And eventually somebody's either going to give it to you or they're just going to give it to you because they're like, hi, I cannot have this woman ask me that question again. So, but the other thing that I did that's been probably the most helpful thing is we have an incredible data team inside our customer experience group. And I work with them very closely. And I essentially can't do anything without them because they supply me with the data, but I have to know what to do with that data. So I go to them all the time and I'm like, what if we looked at this? And what if we looked at that? And once again, it's in a prioritization with them. I know that at the end of June, when we hit the end of the first half of the year, I'm going to put together a whole satisfaction report on the first, on we call it H1. The company's never seen anything like this. It's going to be a new report for them. And I did a trial run at the end of Q1 to kind of see how it was all going to be put together. So I have an idea of what I'm doing, but since I finished that one in at the end of Q1, I've been working with the data team on Q2, you know, how we're going to put this thing together. So we're already formulating this and we haven't even started working on it yet. So there's a lot of moving pieces with it. And it just, gosh, it rolled back to just what my own strategy is and what I want to accomplish by the end of the year. And I know what my goals are. Want to accomplish, and I can't do it without the data team. So they are probably my closest partner.
I think with data, we can do a lot. And you are really deep diving in this metrics topic. And the metrics are the logical side of the business, but there is also an emotional side. And I know that you are very strong also in storytelling. Can you please share perhaps some best practices? How are you able to link metrics with storytelling to demonstrate the impact of CX on the
world? You know, I'm going to tell you what happened to me last week because I just was like, I can't believe this just happened. So last week I had the good fortune to go to our company headquarters in San Francisco with one of the teams, and they have this really big offsite, which was amazing. But one of the things they did at the offsite is they brought in five of our customers, and these five customers, well, one of the user research people, them, and they sat there and they talked about every single thing that I have already shared with this team. There was nothing they said in the course of the hour that they spoke, but this team was eating it up when they were saying it, just eating it up when these were live in, they weren't in person, but they were on a Zoom. And I just was sitting there and I was like, how can I do this? Like, how can I somehow bring to life these stories that they got it? Like, they understood it so clearly. And I just so happened to be sitting next to the director. And I leaned over to him and I asked him, I was like, what can I do? Like, you got to tell me, how do I bring this to life? So that's one of the things that I'm figuring out is, how do I do that? And part of what I'm going to do is, I have some pretty good notes from the different things they were saying, and I'm just going to refer back to them. You know, taking it out of my words and putting it into their words is one thing. And so I think that's just so important. Anytime we can get a snippet of somebody else saying it other than us, it matters so much, whether it's a video, it's live, whatever. But they just ate that right up. And I was like, oh, and even right now, I'm still just like a little like, God, I got to figure this out. But I actually have a storytelling formula that I use. And my storytelling formula has got three parts to it. The first part is the attention getter. And that's the emotion. That's the click. That's the, you know, here's what I've got to get you. So I'm going to tell the emotional part of it. I'm going to find somewhere a freelancer quote. And if I have to sift through 4,000 of them, I'm going to sift through 4,000 of them, because I'm going to find it that's about how Upwork as an organization helps them live their life. It puts food on their table. It pays their bills. It puts a roof over their head. Like, whatever it is, I'm going to find that, because I found those quotes and they're out there. You just have to dig to find them. But that one always pulls people in when they realize that this is just not about the work. This is about a life for these people. You know, and on the client side, I find them where it just boosted their business. It made such a difference to them and it made their lives easier. But that's the first part, the attention grabber. Then it's three things that they need to know. And that's a lot of times where the quantitative pieces come in. And then comes my call to action. And that's the, this is what I need you to do.
That's
my little formula.
That's a great formula that we could should use every time, because it made it emotional, understandable, and there is a call to action at the end. And I think you are very empathetic. You try always to understand the others. And now this is also the example that you shared. And how can CX leaders use leverage empathy to influence the organization and to improve these outcomes?
You know, it's so easy. It's hard, but it's easy. You got to speak their language. You have to. It's just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. It's not about going in and hitting them with VOC and the customer journey and, you know, all the other pieces that we talk about inside the CX world. You got to throw that stuff away and you got to go in and talk their language. And, you know, it takes work to do that, but you have to learn what's important to them. And you have to, like I was talking about earlier, you have to learn their process, because you're coming at this from their point of view. And that all leads into, how are you providing value to them? So it kind of just wraps it all up. But once you speak their language, you use their words, you've found what's important to them, it makes such a difference. I mean, I tell the people that I work with in the marketplace division, I'm like, you guys are my customer. You tell me what you need and I'm going to get it to you. If I don't get it right, you got to tell me that, because I'm going to go back and redo it and make sure I do get it right for you. But they're my customer and they know that. And I tell them that all the time. And it's funny, because I had one of them recently say, you got to stop telling me that. Like, I get it. Like, you're going to do for me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like that little dog that follows you around. And it's like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? That's me. And it's such a neat way to do it, and such a wonderful form of servant leadership. And it's moving the mountain and it's showing that I'm there to provide the value.
You mentioned that you are working really a lot together with the data team. Now you did the example with marketing. But I think there are still some barriers that the CX team are facing. They have some issues, some problems to really thrive the business. And we discussed also in the pre-discussion, as on your side of the world, also on my side in Europe of the world, companies, when they need to start cutting the costs, the first functions that they're looking at is, for example, customer experience, because they're not bringing numbers, because people are questioning their values. Do you have some strategies that you can share to overcome these obstacles?
Yeah, stop trying to prove ROI. Like, it's impossible. You can't do it. And it's like banging your head against a wall trying to prove ROI. Like, it's so hard. But everything that I've described to you, that's all about putting value into the organization. And I am not by any means saying I've mastered this. I'm pretty good at it, but I learn all the time ways to get better at proving value so that what I do does become invaluable to the team. I mean, I work in the marketplace division. I work with probably close to 100 different people, at least. There might be more. It's a kind of a joke. We don't know how many of them there are, because it's the directors, it's the VPs, it's the product managers, it's the content team, it's the marketing teams, it's the engineers. Like, there's so many of them, and there's me. So like, there's a ton of them out there, but my job is to provide value to them. It's to give them that insight into the customer that they can't get otherwise. And I have to be able to go in and segment data and give that to them. If I know there's a category of business that we're focusing on, I'm going to go in and pull that information out for both our clients and our freelancers. And I'm going to share that back with them so they understand it a little bit better. So as they are designing product and as they are making improvements on our platform, they know what people actually want. Then my data team comes in and they help me understand the behavior side of this. So I can share sentiment. I get the data team to share behavior with me on what people are actually doing. Combine those two things, and that's a home run. Like, that's a goal. I'm putting it in the football terms there, but that's like a score. Like, that's, you can't beat that win when you can put sentiment with behavior and then tie it into the metrics in the organization. Like, that's value. And if we as CX people focused on that value, and it's a continuous learning kind of thing, because once again, I'm not going to say I'm a master at this. I'm pretty good. But if we can provide that value, that's our win. And that's how we can stay thick inside organizations. And I don't think what I'm saying is necessarily all that new or revolutionary or anything. Like, I remember Harley Manning saying it for years and years. He's spent talking about this. I mean, he's retired now from Forrester, but it, like, you live it and it puts a bounce in your step. It makes your day a little bit brighter because you know that you're doing things that matter to the organization. And you know you're doing things that matter to the people in the organization, and your job becomes invaluable.
I love this discussion. I love the energy you are bringing in, putting together behavior, sentiment, financial data all together to bring them and make a home run or a goal. As you said you are good at it, but you are not a master. I think from my point of view, you are a top player in the customer experience community. And I am super thankful that you accepted this invitation and we had this discussion. We are coming to an end of this game, but I still have three questions for you in the extra time. Fast forward 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
My retirement. I'm going to be retired by then. But, you know, I think that we haven't talked about tech and AI, and you can't have a conversation without those two things. And I'm curious to see exactly where that's going to go. I don't think that this is a situation like, you know, a couple years ago, we were all talking about the metaverse and we talked about NFTs and, you know, a whole bunch of different things. The piece of with tech and AI, that's just going to keep moving us forward. And I'm really curious to see where it's going to go and where it's going to take us. I think you're always going to need that human element to provide like the sentiment and the understanding and in those pieces of it, and to build that rapport and the relationships. Like, I think you're always going to need that. What is it? I can never remember his name. The professor at Harvard who like 20 years ago said 95% of decision-making is emotional. Like, we're always going to need that. But I think there's going to be so much more that's going to come with it that can really help elevate our industry and customer experience and can really make us better at what we're doing. And I'm curious to see what that's going to be and where that's going to take us.
Thank you. I hope that perhaps you are retired, but your avatar is going to help, coach, and still work in our CX community, that we can still have this great discussion together. In the meantime, what's the best way to contact you?
Oh, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm there all the time. So just reach out to me on LinkedIn and I'm pretty responsive. So I feel pretty good about that part.
Thank you very
much.
I'm
not the best emailer, but I'm good on LinkedIn.
And the last question is, Patty's golden nugget, it's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with?
Yeah, it's pretty, mine is easy. Stop trying to prove ROI. Go prove value. Just go be valuable to your organization.
Thank you very much. And with these smart words, we conclude this discussion. Patty, thank you very much for your time.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. You make this so much fun.
Thank you. Please, Patty, stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today. Feel free to contact me or to contact Patty. You will find her on LinkedIn. In the show notes, you will find also the link and all the relevant links that we discussed today. Thank you very much and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.